Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Summer House Hive. I'm here with a fellow podcaster, fellow genius and fan of Summer House, here to talk about episode 7. It is Dan Allegretto from his very own podcast, Dial Dan. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Thanks for being here. I'm just excited to be here. Honestly, I just rewatched episode 7 and it gave me chills and I'm excited to get into it with you.
Yeah, I feel like it's all happening.
It really is. From Sheena's arm to our lives.
Yep.
Have you been watching Summer House from the jump, or like what has been your history with this ragtag crew of kids?
I didn't start from the beginning because I thought that they wouldn't offer me anything, because to me they're like the worst people in New York City. Kind of like the Murray Hill Nolita crowd.
The rosé all day, like Hamptons crew.
Like, can't you just imagine Amanda being like, Kyle, we need to try this like new rolled ice cream trend? That's just like the vibe I get from the cast. But I think I started like last season, and I'm glad I let them in because it's such a fucking good show.
Yeah, it's so great. Hang on one sec. There's like neighbors gabbing and my dog is flipping out.
Okay.
He's usually pretty chill, but then some things just set him off and I'm like, he's gonna ruin the vibe.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, these are people that I want to watch on TV, but probably never really hang out with. Even though Summer House, I want to hang out with them more than I do like the Vanderpump Rules crowd.
There is a certain darkness that the Vanderpump Rules crowd has that I'm drawn to. I just think their drinking problems are a little louder on Vanderpump. Mm-hmm. So
they're might drinking vibe in a little their coke better. Problem.
Right. I think the coke on Summer House is a little more discreet.
It is. And it's like, I struggle between identifying if it's just like, if they're on coke or if they're on just a lot of Adderall, or if they're being a little more chill and having just a Vyvanse journey every way.
Yeah, you know, it could be a little from column A, it could be a little from column B, you know.
But Vanderpump Rules takes it to like the next level. Like for a while, when I first started podcasting about VPR, I did have them on my pod. Like, almost every person from the show, like, came through and, like, hung with me on the couch in my apartment. And I was, like,
wow, those were the
binge
days.
Drinking with them. Those were the real days. It was season three era, so they weren't, like, super famous yet.
Uh-huh.
But they, it really is, like, they party just as hard as they do on the show, just in, like, day-to-day life. Like, yeah. It's not amped up for the cameras or anything.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to imagine.
But let's get into this episode. It begins with Kyle being, like, very distressed about his fight with Hannah. And he's like, I don't fight with friends, and kind of upset about it to Amanda. And in my head, I was just like, I feel like all he does is fight with his friends.
I think he fights with friends. And Amanda's like, I've never Amanda's trying out the word shook because she probably saw it on Instagram. She's like, I've never seen you more shook before.
Yeah, and even later in this episode, she's like, I mean, I am straight up shooketh at the thought. I was like, Amanda, you don't
follow
need
to two
do this.
Drag queens on Insta here.
Yeah, I was like, I was having visceral memories of Kyle, like, screaming at people. And I feel like when people say, I don't fight with friends, I automatically go to, like, all they do is fight with their friends. All
right.
Luke is working on his jewelry, which...
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I can't.
Rewind to a few episodes before, because I didn't know that Luke did jewelry. And they cut to him, like, showing a ring that he's been, like, grinding down on some machine, and it's like the most hideous Etsy thing from, like, 10 years ago. It's like you take a college class and you learn how to make that stuff. It's just like a hunk of metal with, like, some facets on it.
Yeah, and it's the same ring. I think he's been wearing this ring for multiple episodes now, if not multiple seasons. And I'm like, how much jewelry is he selling if he's having to, like, hand make every piece? Like, I feel like if you have a jewelry line, you've made, like, a sample, and then you found someone to actually, like, make and sell and ship the jewelry. But what do I know? I mean, I'm no jewelry maker.
Well, you're not a hand making, you know, jewelry person, clearly. Also, that table that he made, like, okay, this is, like, a surprise to a lot of people, but I did used to study woodworking and furniture design in school, and, like, the table that he makes, like, out for, like, the pool area, it looks like it's going to fall apart. Like, it's a glorified, like, popsicle stick hot glue situation. It's, like, nailed together in ways that, like, don't even provide, like, proper structural support, and no one really is going to, like, clock that, because they're equally as useless, I guess, in the physical realm.
Yeah, well, it's very wobbly. Like, I was like, I don't trust your ability to successfully make jewelry if you can't make the table to support your own profession.
Just a slab of four legs you can't even figure out.
Yeah, and then also I'm like, you're rude for even bringing this to this realm where everyone else has to be on Zoom calls all day and, like, actually professional, and then you're, like, loudly drilling your bangles and
I know
rings.
Poor Danielle, who I also always forget is on the show. She's just this, like, beautiful, hardworking specter that haunts the house. imagine her being on, like, a Zoom, and, like, Luke's banging around with, like, a hammer and nails and wood, like, right outside her window. And you're like, so annoying.
Her job gets more and more demanding. Her hair gets better and better, and, like, the noises get louder and louder.
Yeah.
But I love that Danielle, like, I think it's a real boss bitch move, if you will, to have a being a reality star is your side hustle.
Right. She can't even make it to, like, the 4 p.m. beach hangout because she's working.
And I was like, what is it like? It must be really nice to just be alone in the house for a little bit and have everything be, like, quiet and empty while you just Zoom. Like, I imagine she just, like, luxuriates and takes a bath even, and, like, then takes her sweet time.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine living with 10 people even for, like, a weekend. It just gets to me, like, going away with people is like, but for 2 or 3 months, I mean, I would go ballistic. So it's a miracle that they've all kind of even remotely held it together slightly, you know.
Yeah, I think Hannah's the one under the most mental duress of all of them. Like,
fully
she's
losing
spiraled
it. She's
off.
Losing it.
Yeah.
We
she's
see it this episode,
the face
too.
Of the planet. Yeah. It's really bad. Lindsay, weirdly, I think, goes into, like, she's dissociated from her emotions and, like, anything that's going on. By the end of this episode, I'm like, she no longer feels.
She can really compartmentalize her feelings.
I will say that about her.
I also kind of feel like, in a way, Lindsay sort of fills in for, like, where Bethany Frankel left off, because it's really amazing to see a woman with, like, a type A personality kind of just, like, destroy every personal relationship in their life and sort of, like, not care.
It is kind of Bethany in that way. I never thought about that before. She gets flowers from Steven, which he's really only killed the flower game one time, which was the sunflowers that he sent. I was like, okay, those feel like a very appropriate, like, high-end Lindsay kind of flower gift. Mm-hmm. And then these flowers came wrapped in, like, tissue paper around a vase. And it was just not the arrangement that you send a queen like Lindsay.
No.
I think even she was nonplussed.
And I love how Paige answers the door and, like, can't find a mask, so she just, like, wraps toilet paper around her head like a mummy in a swimsuit.
She's like, this'll do. They really don't care about masks that much, because even later in the episode, Lindsay gets, like, a pizza delivery, and I think she's just straight up not wearing a mask.
She's like, I ordered three and there's only two. And so a third just magically apparates.
The person's like, oh my god. Also, Lindsay's, like, shock at her flower. She goes, someone comes in with the flowers and she goes, oh god, they're from Steven. Who else would they be from? But I love it. The drama that she brings is so good to me.
She is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. How can you not, like, I would actually, I think, like being in a house with her, because she would be so funny to me. And I feel like she's the kind of person who has somewhat of a sense of humor about herself. So you could make fun of her and she would laugh about it, because she knows how ridiculous she is.
Yes. She's got a very, like, work hard, play hard mentality. And I always find it interesting to hang out with people who work hard, because most of my friends are kind of like scraping by, doing the bare minimum. You know, I know a lot of podcasters myself. But, like, I think she actually, like, lets loose at night sometimes.
She lets loose at night. I just like that when she fell down the stairs and then she was just, like, laughing about it and then got over it very quickly. I'm like, I think if you win her trust and you don't, like, you can't insult her, like, out of the gates, but you win her trust, you become her friend, and then it's, like, a really fun friendship where you can kind of make fun of her and she, like, and it would just be a good vibe. I get that sense.
Yeah.
Basically, I'd do anything to, like, be in a house with Lindsay and just, like, observe her day to day.
I want to learn from her. I want to, you know, develop a work ethic.
She has a lot to teach us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PR just sounds like a hellscape of emailing and convincing people to do something for you.
Yeah. Ugh. And, like, press releases. I didn't realize that, like, you have to compose these, like, one-page documents that you send to everyone you know, telling them about, like, a new collab that's on the horizon. Like, who actually cares?
They don't write themselves. It sounds very soul-crushing to someone like me, who has an artist soul, you know?
Creators.
A podcast, just, yeah, a creator. I'm a creative type.
Yeah, like, I would want Lindsay as my, like, PR person, just, like, hustling her bustle on my behalf.
100.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
But loop me the fuck out of writing any sort of copy for, like, a press release.
I know. Can you imagine?
No. Kyle and Hannah talk, and this is the moment where I really, like, lost it. For Hannah, like, I can't, like,
yeah.
I've
been waiting for this moment for Hannah to kind of, like, show her true self. Because I feel like her and Lala from Vanderpump kind of suddenly started performing this, like, girl bossery feminism that, like, they don't even believe in themselves. I think they just found ways to, like, use certain catchphrases to, like, as, like, manipulation tactics, like, you're gaslighting me, or, like, stuff like this, and they don't even, like, know what they're talking about. I'm kind of, I never thought I'd be on like Kyle's side with anything. But
here yeah, we so are.
Here we are. Hannah's wearing this like pink sweatsuit looking like the Energizer Bunny. They're outside in lawn chairs. And they want to clear up the tension between the two of them because it's starting to affect the rest of the house. And so what happens? Kyle's like, you know, I don't know if you mean half the things you say, but you like hurt my feelings a lot. And she's like, well, you're not even my friend, which was like shocking.
What the fuck? And she goes, what did I say? What did I say that hurt your feelings? As though she doesn't remember literally 48 hours before being like, your relationship is bullshit and you treat Amanda like shit, when all he asked her to do was like maybe do some dishes and take out the fucking trash.
Yeah, and she'd already apologized to Amanda for this, so she knows what she said.
Yeah, I'm like, what's your end game? Like, what are you trying to accomplish out of this conversation, Hannah? Like, because you're looking worse and worse with every sentence that comes out of your mouth.
Right. I do think maybe, I mean, I'll give both of them a little bit of a break because they've been living together for a month. Last summer was awful. Like, I mean, in New York, we had like a curfew. There were like protests every single day. It was mayhem. I mean, they're in the Hamptons, so I don't think they caught a lot of that. But I'm sure they're online yeah. witnessing it being like, what's happening in America? And I'm glad that doesn't enter the show true. Because it would be very undignified for them to like address Black Lives Matter on Summer House. Like, I don't need to see that, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that like meshes with their like taco night and like club night agenda that well. But I too forget, like, I feel like this show is supposed to be an escape from just like the day-to-day realities of how horrible 2020 was, and so I appreciate it for doing that. Like, even when I see them wear masks, I'm like, ooh, like, I don't
take it like, off,
mask
sweetie.
Off don't... in the summer house. Yeah. Like, when Danielle arrived to the beach, it struck me for a second. I was like, didn't I read that, like, the Hamptons closed their beaches or something for a portion of the summer? Like, how are they doing this or something? And then mm-hmm. she took her mask off and I could forget that was even, like, a thing that entered my mind.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I do remember that. I guess private beaches were fine.
Or, like, filming. Maybe they got, like, a filming permit, so it was not... Just oh, like yeah. a social gathering or something. Yeah, but I don't want to think about that stuff.
No.
Like, I want to buy into the fantasy that like this group of 10 great friends decided to just escape to the Hamptons
right.
and live in an upside down mansion for 6 weeks.
What is up with the layout of this house?
I don't get it. It's like, it's a hell house. Like, it's been posited that this on this podcast that it's like the house of the devil and it like sucks you in. And then, like, creates chaos, which has proven to be very true. But I do appreciate, it seems like every bedroom has its own bathroom, which I think is essential.
Yeah, I mean,
in a situation like this.
First seeing the house, I'm like, this layout makes no sense. And then after watching the season, I feel like I'm getting kind of like Stockholm syndrome, where I'm like, this is actually the perfect house. And it makes so much sense. That the bedrooms be on the first
bedroom?
Floor, you can just easily open your sliding glass door, walk out to the pool.
Go out to the pool. Yeah, that's important.
I guess
whose bedroom would you want the most?
I mean, I want a master.
Yeah, I guess I do too.
Because
I like
a balcony that's on like a second floor.
Mm-hmm. And I like a fireplace in the bedroom. With
oh,
that
do they have
chaise
one?
In front? Yeah, they have a fireplace in their bedroom with like this big white fluffy chaise lounge in front of it. And I'm like, that's where you could find me just mm-hmm. on the computer.
I wonder what the reading. Air conditioning bill is per month of that house. Whatever, I don't care.
It's gotta be insane. Just like the grounds and the pool and then like the stove drama, which seemed to get like resolved, which I was very connected to.
I thought it got resolved. Well, I thought the guy came and he's like, it's going to be out for like 3 more weeks or something like that.
And then it was. And then last episode, 2 guys came and like broke it all down. They had to order apart. I'm like, why do I know shit about this stove?
It's like a brand new stove too. It's like a Miele.
It's a gorgeous stove.
Yeah.
It's one of the Hampton like rich people stoves that they have in like Architectural Digest. So I was like, what happens when your like $15,000 stove breaks? And now I know you literally order parts like it's a car.
Yeah, I mean the stove costs as much as what I pay for rent a year in Greenpoint. So Fix it.
Who knew?
I know.
Appliances, yeah. Get it in here. And I just like, I was really fascinated by that. But yeah, Hannah, Kyle, I felt like was very respectful and like even keeled throughout this entire conversation. And then Hannah hyped herself up. Like, and I feel like I've had arguments with people that do the same thing where they start off like, Kyle's at a 1 and she's already at like a 5. And then by the end, she's at like a 12 and is talking about something like putting words in your mouth that you didn't even say and then flipping out about the thing that you said to her that you didn't say.
Yes. Classic manipulator tactics. So she, you know, they're not even really going at it. I do feel like Kyle's just like talking to her and she's, like you said, she's fired up. And she's like, I feel like you're just sitting there like my dad. And he's like, what? Like, why would you say me and your dad in the same sentence? And then she's like, you know what? Don't talk about my dad. Gets up, storms off. I thought she was going to walk right into the pool, which would have been hilarious. She came really close, just like stampeding into the pool because she's kind of looking behind her. Can you imagine?
That would have been incredible.
It'd be like top 10 Bravo moments of all time.
Yeah, whatever. And also if she had played it, because I think she's trying to self-produce somewhat and like be like have these like viral moments. But if she, and she's bad at it, like she's just not skilled.
It's not landing.
At, like, yeah, it's not landing. But if she were good at it, she would have tripped and fallen into the pool in that moment or just walked right in. Yeah.
And she makes sure to enter the house screaming like, don't talk about my family. Like, that's where I draw the line. And Kyle's like, what the fuck? You brought it up and then stormed off and I didn't even say anything.
And then he's crying. And I also would, I would be crying too in this situation. Like if someone, when someone does that, like that is gaslighting for anyone that's really confused. Like,
right.
Because she does use all these like the hot therapy words right now that I feel like people are using without any sort of like context. Like anytime anyone has like conflict, they process it as they're being abused by someone and then just go off into like gaslighting, manipulative, like verbally abusive, like, and just say anything they can to make the other person seem like, to cancel the other person, like IRL. And that's like not real.
Yeah, negative emotions are a part of life and you have to kind of accept that. And I don't think she can.
No, it's like sometimes you might butt heads with people or you might make a mistake that like hurt someone's feelings, and it's okay for them to say that to you and then you talk about it. And that's called conflict resolution.
Yeah.
A lost art.
Well, also she said that like it reminded her of her dad in high school when she'd play tennis, but then I thought that she said she didn't talk to her dad throughout high school.
No, that was Sierra who didn't talk to her dad throughout high school.
Oh, okay. I got the wires crossed.
Yeah, it's a, there's a lot of daddy issues to keep track of.
Yeah, 10 people under one roof. Yeah, no kidding.
But like, if I have to hear about Hannah's dad / tennis situation again, like I'm gonna kill myself.
Because yeah,
it's just, it's way too. I get it. Like, you played tennis. I'm very aware of that. And your dad yelled at you, and it was hard for you. But like, get a new fucking story. You're gonna have to
get a new dad.
Childhood trauma.
Yeah. I guess she kind of did. Her boyfriend is a little bit older.
Yeah, I'm. I just like, you can't lean. You gotta like dredge up some new trauma to like try and fit people into, to make them like the evil person in your conflicts, because this dad tennis thing is really played out at this point.
Her apologies seem to be sincere though. Right after, I think the storm kind of calms down, she calls like a house meeting. And
you felt it was sincere
at the very beginning. I was like, I do think she wants this to be over, but then it goes to a place where she says, you know, Kyle, I respect you and you're the man.
I think that she realized how bad she just looked in that fight. And then also was like, this needs to end. And I'm now, since I escalated it, am the only one that can truly end it. So I'm going to like try and smooth things over and make it look good. But it veered into such performative territory of you're the man. And then there's one point where she like gripped Kyle's face and was like, I'm sorry. And I was just like, you're not. Like, you literally just said, you're not my friend. Like, to this person. So what is the truth? Like, either they're your friend and you care about them, or they're not. And you're like, hey, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. But like, just keep it at like a grounded place. Like, I'm not buying this apology. I buy it like 30%.
Yeah. And you know, Kyle's also her close friend's fiance. So you kind of have to like dial it back a little bit when you're like feuding with someone, because it's like fucking up your friend's shit too.
But also how, like, she told Amanda that she wasn't her friend either. And then Amanda was, like, a toxic, like, they had a toxic friendship.
Oh, right. I'm forgetting, like, everything that happened early on this season. They had a whole thing, too.
So I'm like, what is your true friend status, Hannah? Like, I think, and now I'm starting to think that her only actual friend, like, true friend that she cares about is Paige, and then sometimes Luke, and I guess newly Sierra. But every time she talks to like another person in the house, like when she talks to Danielle or interacts with Lindsay, I'm just like, she's just going through the motions. Like, she doesn't actually care to connect with them or care about anything they're saying. Like, it's just like, it's good for the camera.
Have you seen Hannah and Paige's little Instagram account, Giggly Squad?
I've looked at it sometimes just for their merch, which I feel like their latest merch drop was a little bit ripping off the Loverboy collegiate merch. Ooh. And that's my hot take on the merch wars.
Amanda does cook up some very appropriate merch. I think she does a great job over there at Loverboy headquarters.
Slaying it at merch. Yeah.
Hannah and Paige try to make memes, and they're not even memes. It's just like a caption of attractive gif of them. It'll be like Paige sitting by the pool and kind of like shooting a look at Hannah, and the bottom text of the meme, I'm doing heavy air quotes over here on the meme, is like, that feeling when your best friend shoots you a look because you know your friend's eye contact is your only safe space. It's like, this isn't even like, this doesn't make any sense at all, and it's not like a joke or a punchline. You're just like captioning a flattering image of yourself and like trying to make it work. Safe space. Oh my god, give me a break.
It sounds like BuzzFeed AI like comes up with the captions. I'm gonna look now because I just like saw the merch and I was like, I actually can't. And I was following, I still follow Hannah, and like I had her on an episode of my podcast Babe, and because I really like, I was a big fan of hers like for the first couple seasons that she's been on the show, and this time she's like testing my patience, but I want to try and give her like the benefit of the doubt and think, I think she's having like a core brain aneurysm, if you will.
Something's going on upstairs. Well, I think originally we kind of thought Hannah might be like the cool girl because she's like a brunette from Brooklyn, but then like her student athlete sorority side is really coming out this season. We're like, ugh.
Yeah, and I had to mute her eventually on Instagram because she posts a lot of screenshots of her tweets, and I've genuinely lolled maybe one time, and then I was like, I can't, like, the tweet screenshots are poisoning how I feel about this person. Like, I don't want to dislike them, so I'm just gonna like mute them so that I just don't have to see this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, it's the comedy. I just wish the comedy was better.
Yeah, and I also take umbrage with the fact that, like, Luke brings up, he's like, oh, Hannah, do you want to play hockey with me and you can be the goalie? Which, that is so fucking funny. He calls her bro and, like, dude also. And she's like, no, I have to go nap and, like, edit my podcast. And he's like, oh, who's the episode with? And she's like, oh, me and Dez. And he's like, oh, you're both comedians, so it should be pretty funny. And she's like, yeah. Like, she's not a comedian.
No. I mean, she is, I guess, and she thinks of herself as one. And I guess, I mean, she is. She, like, does shows in New York.
Does
but
she?
But it's that kind of comp. Yeah, she does.
Oh,
and,
God.
But it's,
I gotta go
it's
to
that
one.
Kind of comedy. You should go to one, please, and, like, report back, because I need to know everything.
Once things open up again, I'll go.
There are comedians there are male comedians, obviously, who are like not funny, but there's female comedians who get audiences who think they're like hilarious. And I sit here and I'm truly like, what are they saying that is like really funny to you? Like, where's the lull? I don't understand like where it's coming from. And I feel like there's a group of them that all function together. And it's just like, they're really not funny, but they get like, like girls are just like, oh my God, they're fucking hysterical.
Yeah, and I don't talking understand. About Tinder dates. Oh my God. Yeah.
Tinder dates and pooping and like making observations about like adulting. And I'm like, you guys, like, this is again, like a BuzzFeed AI like wrote the script for this. This is an algorithmic comedy at its best.
Mm-hmm.
But please go.
Oh yeah, because she was saying that she was about to go on tour right before coronavirus. Like a tour, like different cities, like in the Midwest. Imagine.
I mean, it's like it, and but there's tons, like I feel like there's lots of like Netflix specials with women who are like, and then I got my fucking period, and it's just like, I can't, like, I fail to see where the laws are.
Yeah, I was on a plane and got seated next to a baby that was crying. It's like, oh,
cool. Girls are like, ah! They're like, wine, am I right? Like, I need my rosé. And it's just like, I really can't. Luke's guitar playing also makes my nervous system shut down whenever I have to
really
listen
touches
to
my heart
it.
And soul. Yeah. Wait, the lyrics, I wrote them down. Where are they? Suit and tie, hair slicked tie. Back. And he can't remember the lyrics, and he says, "Sexy little smile."
His coping mechanism for like mommy and daddy fighting is to like sadly strum his guitar on the front porch.
Yeah.
And
he's the only one utilizing that front porch, by the way.
He loves the front porch. I love when he and Lindsay go out there and he's like, God, just I love it out here. Like, I just love to have conversations out here. I love to talk to people on these steps. And she's like, I know.
I love talking too.
No, oh, yeah. They're great.
As they're talking, he gets a phone call from someone named Tracy, and Lindsay's like, who's that? And he's like, oh, Tracy, she's a friend from Minnesota.
Like, Luke will never not have women just like blowing him up because he is attractive, like by any definition. He's just like a hot dude, but he again is someone who is just, I think, very bad at everything he attempts. Like, he's real. His skill is to look hot and model.
God,
which is not
if he
a
was
skill
fugly,
to, like, shake your head
no
at.
One would go near him. They'd be like, your music is awful. He'll never hear
no,
that.
They wouldn't,
well, I guess I'm saying
he wouldn't
now,
be
but,
cast.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd be playing hockey still. He would actually be like a professional, like, NHL player.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would be hot because he'd be like a pro athlete with no teeth.
Yeah. I mean, he is, like, conventionally very attractive. Like, I get it. And, like, there's a lot of guys like him in New York that kind of have adopted the, like, work wear lifestyle, or, like, as if their life has purpose because of what they do with their hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wonder what his apartment's like.
Do you know where he lives? His aesthetic is very... I don't know where he lives, But his aesthetic is very, like, mason jar. And I feel like that would extend into, like, his apartment of being just, like, found wood objects.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of, like, Justin Theroux, too.
Mm-hmm. But not as edgy.
No. He doesn't wear as much black, I guess.
He's kind of like John Mayer and, like, just, like, driftwood, but, like... You know those coffee tables that are just made out of, like, old crates with some, like, iron on the sides of them?
Yeah, take and, like, old wood, add some iron.
Yeah, paint it and then sand off some of the paint so it looks really old. And then put, like, apple boxes around it with some pillows. And then it's, like, and then you're, like, mason jar candles.
His apartment sounds splintery. I imagine
it's very splintery. Yeah. It's a splinter in the ass.
You have
ass,
to wear gloves
guaranteed.
And shoes the entire time, yeah, and metal pants. Oh, after like him and after him and Lindsay have their little like powwow outside on the front porch, he goes in and writes a song. I wrote the lyrics. Another night yes. alone, and it's your sexy little smile. Oh yeah, baby girl, you're driving me wild.
Do you think that song is about Sierra?
I think everything's about Sierra.
Is he lovesick over her at this point?
I think that he just thought he was gonna go to the summer house and have sex with Sierra like the entire time.
His box of condoms
oh, God,
is sitting unused
scary,
in his closet.
Huge box of condoms. He went to like Costco and got them.
Yeah, like why wouldn't you just like tuck those away?
I don't
he's
know.
A little, yeah, he's
it's
a little
maniacal.
Bit. It's untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
I loved when everyone called bullshit on Hannah's "You're the man" speech,
yes.
And this is like, I love Danielle being like, "Jesus Christ, Hannah."
Yeah, cuts her like taking a sip of like something in a confessional. She's like, "Jesus Christ, Hannah, so good."
I'm no actor, but I call bullshit. She's keeping it real.
Another great Lindsay moment, yeah.
But like everyone gets something different out of it, and like it really touched Kyle. Like he wept over it. He was like, he needed that in order to just like move forward and be honored in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke goes, you just hear Luke go, "That was really cool."
It's really cool. I'm gonna write a song about that.
Yeah, you're the man. Like, ah, you're the man, suit and tie, hair slicked back. He also, it's like every song that he writes
stand
starts the same way.
Yeah, suit and tie.
Your sexy little smile. It's like, it's shocking to me.
Has he put out a single or any kind of music? Can we listen to it anywhere? Do you know?
I don't know. That's actually a really good question. I'm going to find. I'm also shocked at his last name for some reason. Like, his last name is Gulbranson, which he just doesn't seem like a Luke Gulbranson to me.
Oh, huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I would think that he would have changed his last name by now to be, like, kind of more Hollywood.
Yeah, just like Luke Gold.
Yeah, Luke Gold would be really good. Okay, Luke Gulbranson, music.
Hopefully he has a band camp that I can support.
Or like he's dropping fresh tracks on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
I need like a Luke and James Kennedy mashup. I unfortunately don't think he has any music.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, I love the musical stylings of James Kennedy. I love the song.
James...
It's called World Music, or just World in all capital letters.
His like, album
ding,
of
ding,
like...
Ding, 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 ding. I really vibe out on that one.
That album they put out that was like pump tracks or something like mm-hmm. that was like heavily touched was actually pretty good.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, like he, for all intents and purposes, is like talented at DJing.
Uh-huh.
He's a budding DJ, and I followed him somewhat on Instagram, like, and a little bit on TikTok during quarantine, and I love that he's just, like, remixing stuff in his little apartment setup, and I'm down. I've always taken the side that, like, James Kennedy is a talented musician.
Yeah, I think he has a very decent understanding of music and how it's made.
Yeah,
and
I like
at least
restrained.
There's an album we can listen
analysis.
To on Spotify. Yeah,
I know, and I root for him. Like, I really do feel like he will make it to Coachella one day.
Oh yeah,
like Sahara Tent. Maybe like it'll be like a 12 p.m. taking the stage with
whatever.
The Sahara Tent. You got to start somewhere, but I really like. I see nothing but like reaching for the stars for him.
I would maybe go to Coachella just to see James. Otherwise, I'm not super interested.
No, that's like the only thing that would draw me back there. That and like a free, I need like a free artist pass as well.
There needs to be a lot of perks to get me to the other side of the country. Yeah.
Yeah. And also to like the hellscape that is Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been?
No, I've never been. I don't get out a lot.
You're like, Coachella, what is that exactly?
Heard of it, yeah.
No, it's definitely, I mean, obviously it's like a more of a California vibe, but the last time I went, I was like, wow, this will be the last time I ever do this without it being fully funded by someone else.
Yeah. Do they have like a podcasting, do they have like live podcasts at Coachella?
I imagine that they must. I don't know if they did in past years, but could start that.
Hey, planting a little seed here. Yeah.
Yeah. A little Coachella crossover action, a collab, if you will. Hannah finally takes the trash out, seemingly.
Yes, like, or she finally did that one bag. Yeah.
At least says that she's going to take the trash down, but I really crave and need the closure of seeing her physically putting a trash bag in whatever dumpster is at that house. Like, that will close the loop.
I need that too, because she's probably just moving it like she operates the same way I do, where it's like, I've taken the trash out, I'm going to put it next to the front door, I'm going to go back upstairs. I'll do that later. I can't complete a task, you know? And I think that I need to see her walk outside, open a lid, drop it in. Because I don't know.
Because I feel like she is just going to find a new place to stash it that's not as obvious as, like, that hallway between Kyle's room and the kitchen.
she's just stashing
the
bag.
Up. They're on to me.
They're going to, like, find some crawl space filled with garbage bags, like, any day now. There's a family of raccoons living in the summer house.
Yeah, it's like those like Lifetime movies or something where like girls with eating disorders like have jars of their vomit in a closet, but it's just like Hannah's trash closet.
Yeah, we found out my landlord does that too. He takes our trash and like takes pill bottles out and organizes them in a crawl space. So I think Hannah, I know, right? The rent is super cheap, so I can't say anything. Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, that's a fairly like harmless practice.
He's a nice guy. He just has some quirks, you know?
That's honestly kind of artistic if you look at it from that lens.
It's flattering. He cares. He's not afraid to go through my garbage. Not a lot of men have done that for me before. Sorted stuff.
It's devotion. Yeah. It's devotion.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all.
like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Hannah retires to Paige's room or closet to have phone sex with Dez. And that the setting of this phone sex bothered me in that, like, it doesn't feel that sexy to, like, have all the lights on and, like, huddle under a bright yellow comforter surrounded by racks of clothes. I guess just, like, showing your boobs to your new boyfriend.
Right. Why was she in Paige's room, though? And why was Paige... Paige was also FaceTiming Perry, and it seemed very boring in contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Because, like, Paige's room is the one with all the clothes because people send them to her to Instagram. That's how she makes her money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No disrespect. But then Hannah was the one FaceTiming Dez in Paige's room with the nipple, right?
Well, I think she can't. The nipple, yeah. I don't think she can FaceTime sex Dez while she's, like, sleeping next to Paige, even though we do see her kind of do that. Like,
do they sleep together every night?
I think they sleep together every night, but sometimes Hannah podcasts from that, like, closet room.
Okay. Gotcha.
But, like, just turn the lights down at least, or, like, light a candle, or, like, set the mood. I just, like, a full overhead lighting phone sex, it feels not sexy.
I can't do overhead lighting, period, okay?
No,
I'm not doing anything sexy in my room anymore. It's just like it's a personal ethos. There's no overhead lighting. It's terrifying.
Yeah,
like an insect in a cage. Yeah,
but like, and just the yellow, it just was like how you must really like each other and be in that, like, rosy new phase of the relationship where you're just, like, so horny that nothing is gonna turn you off, not even, like, the overhead lighting.
It seemed like they kind of had to introduce Dez at this point because it was airing on the time that, like, Hannah announced her engagement. And there was, like, a timing issue where it's like, oh, like, you clearly met before the Summer House. And I'm sure she mentioned him to the rest of the cast, but it never made it to the show. But then suddenly it was like, oh, shit, we got to, like, put Dez up in here for it to make sense, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm wondering how much, like, they encouraged her to play, like, does she really care about the Luke thing that much? Does she not care about it? And, like, it was just more of a storyline to play out for entertainment purposes? Because she's moved on to Dez, like, very quickly.
Yeah, and so the story goes they met 2 weeks before the Summer House. So if I'd met someone that seemed promising enough that I would, like, want to date them and eventually get engaged with, I probably wouldn't take the Luke stuff so seriously, but she totally did.
Yeah. And then, like, if I was then engaged to someone and they're like, babe, let's watch your show that you were on. And then we watched a show where I was, like, crying about this guy and being like, how dare he? Like, I blah, blah, blah. Like, we were supposed to be together this summer. And then I was, like, the consolation that my new boyfriend was, like, the consolation prize. I'd feel, like, very strange about that.
It would tarnish some things for me, for sure.
Yeah. Unless it's just, like, understood. I always just wonder, like, with reality stars, what is understood as far as, like, their storylines on the show, like, bleeding over into real life. Like, for Perry and Paige, I guess they're broken up now or something, but
they're broken up.
Okay, yeah. Like, well, that makes sense because I wouldn't want to be Perry just watching Paige being like on the fence about whether or not she really wants to be with me.
Yeah, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah. Des goes, why does your nipple drive me crazy?
Oh.
I was like, what are they doing in there? Why? Like, this is not hot at all.
Yeah, and you know what? Des just creeps me out because he reminds me of Ryan Serhant, who's like one of the most despicable people that's ever been on Bravo.
Who's that?
Million Dollar Listing New York. He's like the really chipper, like salt and pepper young guy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I just saw an article. I did not click on it, but it's like, here's why international plutocrats love Ryan Serhant for their like multi-million dollar apartments. And it's like him like doing one of those like sort of like Tinder jumping like yay pictures. And it's oh, it's the worst. He has no shame. He's a greedy pig. ruining New York City.
Yeah, I can't. I'm like, I'm so curious to see how Des mixes in with the housemates because obviously he's going to get like flown into the summer house to like vibe out for a couple episodes or something.
Oh, I hope. Do we know that? I hope so.
I think I saw like coming, like still to come on this season of Summer House, and Des is like with, like he's in the house.
Oh, good.
Or at least like comes to visit. Yeah. So that's important because he's also older than everyone.
I think he's 45.
Mm-hmm. So that would make him officially like the oldest guy in the house.
Yeah, because Kyle's a 30. Well, he's pushing 40, right?
Carl's 40.
Carl is 40. Okay.
I think so. Maybe not. I didn't know that Hannah and Paige were like 29 and are almost 30. I thought that they were both like 24 or 25.
Yeah, I would have guessed like 26 would be my guess for both of them.
Yeah, and then Sierra is like very young. She's 24.
Oh, she's so beautiful. So she's like model slash nurse.
Stunning. Yeah, you just give up. Like it's just over after that.
Yeah.
I love like with a heart of gold and also just like a stunningly gorgeous model.
I think if Sierra was any different of a person, Hannah may have feuded with her, but she's like, I can't even compete with this bitch. Like, I just have to like be friends with her.
You have to kiss her ass and win her over. There, you like, what are you gonna? Can you imagine? Like, Hannah could hardly look worse at this season if she tried. But the one thing that would just bury her is actually trying to like feud with Sierra.
Yeah.
So at least she knows her boundaries in that sense.
Do you think that Sierra will like eventually hook up with Luke this season? I'm a little surprised that like, I don't know, I guess she just has morals and like standards for herself, but she's also said how like she dates like historically, you know, shitty guys. And I'm like, well, how has nothing slipped yet? Like a late night want to watch a movie text. If I was in quarantine and, you know, hadn't had any affection, I might have been like, yeah, we can watch a movie, Luke.
I think that Luke has been just so tarnished to her at this point, like that the spark or whatever kind of like intrigue she had in him is truly gone. Like he's done it to himself because he's the kind of guy that like plays his guitar on like a porch and like is making jewelry and then plus all the Hannah stuff made him look really bad. And it's just one of those things where you're like, as soon as you're like ew to a guy that you like, it's just the magic is over. But I could see Sierra and Carl maybe like making out.
Yes, I think that Carl and Sierra should try it out. I think they're both like enamored with each other in a way that's like really cute, but they're not like being so explicit about it, but they clearly have like a liking for each other. I think it's sweet.
I think they should watch a movie together.
They should watch a movie together.
Mm-hmm. And like, just see what happens. I don't know if she should fuck him because I think that would, he classically like just loses interest in women the moment he has sex with them.
Yeah.
Or any sort of kind of sexual interaction. So I feel like her best bet would be to like watch a movie, make out, and then just like make out with him for months and torture him until he professes his love and declares commitment to her.
Mm-hmm. He should buy a ring from Luke for her.
And like a bangle bracelet.
Yeah, it's just like a nail.
A piece of metal that has been bent. Yeah. Not even a nail is giving it like way too much design credit.
Yeah, it's very tetanus chic.
Yeah, it's splinters and then like shards of metal that like lodge themselves in your like outer dermal layer.
Yeah.
Hannah's walking on sunshine because of Dez. And then when she and Luke are having their like bro hockey moment, she like is going off. Like she truly is she's like bipolar in this episode. Cause one second she's flipping out, accusing people of attacking her. And then the next second she's like, I just have to like, I'm so into Dez. And she goes, Luke, she goes, he's so funny and so smart. And it's like, okay, burn dog.
Yeah, it's a really emotional tornado we walked into with Hannah this episode.
Yeah, and Luke is like, I think it's like a new relationship, so maybe you'd want to pump the brakes. And then immediately Hannah processes that as like, you sound like you're kind of jealous. So anyways, I gotta go get ready. And I'm just like, Hannah, he is not jealous of you. Like, he literally is just not interested in you.
Mm-hmm. He just called
and
you bro.
And now I'm realizing he's called you bro and then added a dog to the last part, the last syllable of your last name.
He asked you to be a goalie for him in the yard. He doesn't really care anymore.
I'm also realizing that, like, Hannah and Luke... like her flirting with him and stuff, I was like, oh, they do have chemistry. Like when he came on last season and she was like laying it on really thick, and I was like, God, she's really good at flirting and like he is interested. But now I'm realizing that maybe Hannah misread the signs at all times and she just comes on like incredibly strong to like create the narrative that a guy is into her when she's the one that's into him. And then now I'm having like really bad secondhand embarrassment whenever she says something like, oh, it sounds like you're kind of jealous.
What do you mean we weren't dating? Like we didn't even, we like kissed like 7 months ago.
We didn't have sex.
Yeah. I think Luke's just that interested in every girl he talks to. And can put on like a little bit of charm. And since he's so classically handsome, people fall for him. But like, you gotta grow up and get over that you wasted your time on this guy. I guess she did. Mm-hmm. She's like literally engaged now to someone else, but
yeah, she moved on rather quickly.
We're talking about episode 7 here, not present day life. Yeah.
But like, even when she was on my podcast, it was like March last year. And I was like, are you and Luke dating? Like, what's the deal? And then she was like, I can't really say, like, not. And it was all still cagey. So I was like, they're not, like, they're just not dating. Mm-hmm. In my head, I was like, oh, they're not. He was in Minnesota or something. And she was like with her parents in the Hamptons.
Well, they're five cats.
Five cats.
She's like, I'm such a cat lady. I was with my cats. I'm like, they're not even your cats. Okay. But I get the like little shtick, the trope. That's like, oh my God, I'm such a weird girl with cats. Uh-oh.
Lindsay in therapy is heroin to me.
Yes. Oh my God. I could watch that for an hour. I just want to watch that whole Zoom.
Whole spin-off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lindsay in therapy.
I love also from, it seems like she hasn't, like, it's not like a regular therapist she sees. Like, it seemed like there have been like weeks that have gone by.
Yeah.
Not having an appointment.
She's like, so, no, things are fine and great. And then the therapist like eventually brings up Stravi and she's like, oh yeah, we broke up. And the therapist is like, oh, okay. The guy you've been dating for a year you want to have kids with? Like, should we talk about that?
I also loved from her therapist's perspective, there's like a production guy's elbow in like Lindsay's window. Like, you could see him like, looks like he's like holding up a camera, like pointing it at her. But I was like, this must be so strange as a therapist to like have a client that's on a reality show. And I immediately also don't trust a therapist that lets you film them.
No, I know. I don't either. It's very strange. Also, Lindsay's computer was a very dusty old HP laptop. And I was like, ew.
Yeah, that really didn't add up to me either, now that you mention it. Are PR people just like Microsoft people?
She's probably just talking to like someone else at her PR firm that's masquerading as a therapist. Did you send those emails, Lindsay? Yes. Do you have a boyfriend now? No.
She goes, you and I have switched and now I'm wearing the glasses.
Yeah. I'm smart today.
I just love it. And her therapist kind of did call her out at first, because I do think Lindsay is like I think she torched this relationship because she does have like intimacy issues, which also like who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
But her therapist kind of alludes to that. She's like, oh, the cycle. Lindsay's like, we got back into our like crazy toxic cycles. Mm-hmm. And her therapist is like, the cycle where you evade intimacy or like block any intimacy. And Lindsay was like, yeah, and just fighting and not, and like he wasn't really trying. And I was like, Lindsay is not gonna accept that like she is a big part of this like cycle going over and over.
No, she won't. I really thought that PowerPoint would have brought them together too.
I think she appreciates, like, she definitely feels like she did a great thing by forcing him to write a PowerPoint. Like, he learned a lot from it. And then, but she was already, like, as soon as he left the house, I feel like she had made up her mind that it was over between them.
Yeah.
It was the test that she administered and he failed. Mm-hmm. And she was giving them the opportunity to, like, make a passing grade with some bonus work, but little did he know he was not gonna pass the test.
Yeah, and that unimpressive flower bouquet he sent to, I'm sure, was the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, it was just, the aesthetic is not there for Hubs.
He untwisted one of Luke's bracelets and hammered the final nail in the coffin with that flower bouquet.
What kind of man do you see Lindsay with?
She needs someone who is stronger than her, because I would imagine as a woman, it's exhausting to like take care of a man emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So probably someone older and a little more stoic. Like, I don't know.
That lets her be the crazy one.
Yeah. And can kind of guide her in the right direction. Not that she needs a ton of guidance, but like, I guess she does have walls to break down. And if she's like, oh God, I don't know. If she's like so concerned about a guy not like taking care of her enough, or like she's the one making the sandwiches, you know, I think she needs a guy that's like going to pay for some stuff. And that's like kind of her love language.
Mm-hmm. Like gifts are more of her love language than quality time.
Yeah.
Or like quality time that involves a lot of gifts.
I don't think she even like has enough time to give to a relationship. So the whole quality time thing is weird. Or maybe I guess the time that they do spend needs to be so kind of like over the top. Like that dinner he planned for her, I thought was like really sweet. Like he got food delivered from like Manhattan to the Hamptons of like where they first went on their first date. And she's like, this just isn't good enough for me. I think she says almost verbatim. And I was like, God, I mean, this guy probably sucks. But
your
like,
version of good isn't good enough for me.
That's exactly what she said. Yeah.
Brutal thing to say to a guy on camera.
Yeah. You know, at that moment, it's just over. You can't say that to someone. That's it. That's like literally, she broke up with him then.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he left.
And then like him leaving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would leave too. Like, there's no reason to stick around. Like, he's basically humiliated at that point.
Oh, yeah. And we never see him again on the show. Just,
I,
he's haunting the FaceTimes. Yeah.
I was not a fan of that dinner that he got. I don't think it was from Manhattan, but if it was from Manhattan, or was it?
I don't know.
If it was, it's also, I really am not a fan because fish and chips brought in like
traveling
three hours.
What do you tip your Uber Eats guy? My God.
He's like, I spent $500 on getting these fish and chips here, which is like not money well spent, honey.
So you didn't like the dinner he made?
No.
Maybe I have like really low standards, but
Dan, maybe you need to examine some things. I think fish and chips don't travel well as
That's
like
true.
To go food.
Oh no, I would never get fish and chips delivered.
Yeah, so I'm like, I think I understand where he was coming from. Like, the intention behind the gesture is really sweet, but it's not thinking through to, like, will this actually be, like, a delicious meal that we can share together and something she will actually love to eat? Is, like, he's just not thinking the whole thing through from beginning to end.
Okay.
Like, I don't want a soggy, cold fish piece of cod stuck to some, like, steak fries.
Okay, now I hear that. I guess I didn't consider the actual food they're eating, but like, let's say the meal was delicious and she liked it, then would it have been up to her standards, or do you think that she still would have found something wrong with it? It does seem like she was kind of fishing for it to be, I think she wanted it to go bad so she could break up with him and move on.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's hard to have a good date when you've spent the week leading up to this like big moment fighting nonstop.
Yeah, big fights.
So it's like the chances that it's gonna go well are so slim. Like it would take, I think she was thinking, we fought so much that maybe he's gonna sweep me off my feet with a grand gesture and a boat, and
yeah, he should have like, gotten a boat,
give me jewelry or like commit to me long term.
I think she was looking for a proposal, actually.
Yeah, or just some sort of acknowledgement of her timeline, and then be like an acknowledgement that he also is on the timeline with her.
Mm-hmm. Would have been a great opportunity to deliver that PowerPoint. That. Yeah.
I love the stick figures in the PowerPoint.
Oh, I know. That really brought me back to being a child, literally, like clip art little figures, like pointing, like,
yeah,
you need to validate me and don't yell at me in public, Lindsay.
I feel like when I was little, when my parents got divorced, my mom had us go to like a support group for like children of divorce. And I feel like those were the types of graphics that we had to see in like divorce self-help.
How old were you?
It's like fourth. I think I was in like fourth grade. It was during, I know Romeo and Juliet, like Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet came out at that time.
It was huge, yeah.
Because it was huge. And we had to bring in like a song. Each of us had to bring in like a song that meant a lot to us to play for the group and then like talk about why we loved it so much. And I brought the Cardigans, that Cardigan song.
Five, yeah.
And then, yeah. And then the support group person was like, wow, this is like a really intense like metaphor for what you must be going through with your parents. And I was like, yeah, I'll fucking say. I love how hard Kyle is working on Loverboy, just trying to get that cash.
Yeah, and it seems like him and Carl are killing it, but, you know, there aren't enough cans, literally, in the world for them to pump out these sparkling hard teas. Have you had a Loverboy?
Oh,
no. No, I haven't. I'd be a little too embarrassed to drink it publicly, but I mean, I have to try it at some point. Well, there's two different kinds, right? There's like a sparkling hard tea, and then there's like another kind that seems like a cocktail.
Yeah, I don't think it's available in California.
Oh, okay.
Like I've gone to their website to check out the merch, but then I think there is something that says like what states it's available in, and it's like a hot commodity. It's only you can only find it in like six or so states.
I too have been on the website, and there's like a map that has like the, you know, like pins drop where you can buy it, and there is a place in Williamsburg, but it was like a little too far of a walk, and it was like winter when I checked, and I'm like, well, let me wait for things to warm up and I'll recalibrate.
I really am envisioning some cans of Loverboy in your future this summer.
They should do like a caffeinated version and call it like Lindsay's activated juice or something.
That's a good idea.
Gave there that needs one away to for be free. Like a,
yeah, I mean, you deserve a percentage of sales for sure. Like a Red Bull Loverboy. I would like them to do like a non-alcoholic, not an enema. What am I thinking? Like a really hardcore. Yeah. Like a non-alcoholic, like severe diuretic that like just like makes you like drop like 10 pounds of water weight after drinking.
I think they could also brand some sort of like hangover relief, because the way that they party and the way that, like, you know, Kyle will be like not even able to like open his eyes, slurring his words, and like wake up at like 7 and like go for a run. And I get like working out when you're like hungover. I've never done this because I'm normal, but like some people like, well, you know, I get the impulse to like just run, because when you're like very hungover, you do kind of just want to like run through the streets like screaming. But like Kyle doesn't seem to be, no one's like visibly hungover. Sometimes one of them's like a little puffier than normal, but like no one seems like outwardly debilitated. And like, I don't know, like they're an age where you should be like very hungover. So I'm wondering if they have any secrets and if they could share them with us, because I would like to know.
I think the secrets are sweat. Well, also they have that sauna, but I guess you'd have to like go into Paige and Hannah's lair of laptops to like access the sauna. But I would be like saunaing would help. And then I guess like a stimulant of some sort. I really do think it's like they must just be taking Adderall to like power through.
Yeah.
Because I'd be flattened. Like I wouldn't even be able to film.
No. Absolutely not.
And like, you're so right. Like they carry their hangovers with grace. I'm thinking back to Vanderpump Rules, some of the hangovers that cast has had, and they have hangovers so bad that you can like smell what their rooms must smell.
Yeah,
like
when like
afterwards.
Kristen Doty cracks a Coors Light at like 11 a.m. I'm like, yep, been there. That's more my speed. I get that, Kristen. See, but there's none of that. Hangovers are basically non-existent on Summer House. And maybe that's intentional. It kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, the sort of like light and dark energy versus Vanderpump Rules and Summer House. Maybe they're trying to keep it a little more like summery, freeing, and not so psychologically
not so
damning.
Like-
yeah.
Taco Bell detritus laying around.
Yeah, oh my god.
And like farty girls and their dogs on the couch.
Uh-huh. They're gray IKEA couches, yeah.
Yeah. Kyle's on Lindsay's hotspot just working out of the front seat of Carl's car. And then Luke has brought this game into the mix that I've never seen before. Have you seen this game being played? Is it called Coop? Coup?
Wait, remind me of what the game was again.
The game is literally they just put wooden blocks.
Oh, right.
They have line wooden blocks up and then you throw a block. I've
new
never
to me,
seen that.
Yeah. It's like bowling in the sand, but it also looks like if you throw something, it's going to knock them all down because they're very close to each other. I don't know. Coop?
I really worry about getting a block to the shin seems like a high possibility, mm-hmm. which would take a lot of the fun out of it.
And knowing Luke, this wood's probably very splintery, so that's another hazard.
Yeah, like, did he invent this game? Or, like, I really need...
He's an inventor. What can't he do? Isn't his, like, fragrance actually... called, like, Renaissance Man? And he is a total Renaissance Man. He does nothing good, but, like, he does a lot. You know, he wears a lot of hats.
I think it's Renaissance Man, and then it has, like, a female fragrance called, like, Renaissance Woman or something.
Renaissance
and then he
bitch,
has
yeah.
Renaissance Whore. And he has, like, one of those candles that's, like... in a jar.
Ugh, god, okay.
Yeah, the most phone-in move for a candle of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay calls Stravi and has like a corporate breakup with him.
Oh yeah, this was good.
Really,
this was good.
She goes, I think I'm at a point in time where we just go our separate ways. And then he says, he was like, okay, well, I'm disappointed, but I wish you nothing but the best. And she goes, okay, well, same to you. And then they hang up. And I was like, wow, that's like the most masterful breakup I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was corporate is the right word for that. It sounded like she was on the phone with one of her coworkers again. She treats everyone... Yeah. Like a coworker, it's so neoliberal.
He kind of, I'm like, what does he think of all this? Like, it seems like he's really committed to trying to make this relationship work. Like, he's doing the PowerPoint. He's trying to do like what she says. And does she? I guess she needs to feel like she feels glad to see that he's trying so hard. It probably makes her feel better about herself and this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like where's the emotion, where's the heartbreak? Like, she talks a lot about being like 34 and it's like a huge decision to have to like break up with someone.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it's emotionally affecting her all that much.
No. Sorry, she doesn't even mention it to the beach crew, and they're all kind of sitting around in lawn chairs. And I think Sierra's like, hey, who was that? She's like, it was Stravi. I just ended things. And she's like, Amanda's kind of like, oh, she kind of like perks up, is like waiting for like a huge reaction from Lindsay. And she's like, it's fine. And then this is like another beautiful cutaway to the like confessional. The first one was Danielle being like, Jesus Christ, Hannah. And this one was Sierra being like, it was a quick phone call too. It was just like very transactional, very motionless.
Yeah, it was like a 30 second breakup.
Yeah.
I've never in my life had easeful of a breakup with anyone, so I admire her for just like putting her girl boss hat on and getting it done.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're with someone for a year, I think, you know, you could do a FaceTime. Maybe there were a lot of emails leading up to this phone call that we weren't privy to.
I think there were a lot. Yeah, it was like email. A constant back and forth and a lot of tasks to accomplish.
Do you think they like G-chat each other?
Definitely.
Okay.
I think it's
like
all
day. The
last
two people doing that, I think.
Mm-hmm. They're G-chatting and he's like, hey, can you talk now? And she's like, not now. I have like an activation phone call. And like, and then she's probably sending him like Google Calendar invites for when she can like have like a 10-minute call with him. But then this call came out of the blue.
We're breaking up from 8:20 to 8:30. Mm-hmm. Carl's using my hotspot though, like... so like we might have bad reception.
Yeah, I think she probably waited for like Kyle to get off her hotspot so she
Kyle, you done? Okay, great. I gotta make a call. Don't worry, I'll be quick.
Okay, same to you.
It was so good.
Oh. I wonder if they've ever talked again after that or if that was just like truly just the end.
I don't know. I'm curious too. Then she's like, well, yeah. Saddle up right next to Luke. You can spot a woman in peril.
A sad girl from a mile away. And I want them to just like fuck it out.
Yes,
I think it'll be
actually
very good for both of them.
I think they're probably both just like horny people that need to have sex a lot.
Yeah. And it's what it would be a healing experience for Luke because he's feeling like very rejected right now, which I can't blame him because he's literally gotten like just the total shutdown from Sierra. And then the best way for anyone to get over a breakup is just to like fuck someone else. So I think both of them could have sex and not really attach big emotions to it and then like feel a lot better about their lives afterwards.
Yeah, 100%.
And I honestly think Hannah is like still deeply jealous of anyone that talks to Luke
in
like a semi-romantic or sexual way.
Yeah.
Because she immediately like gathers with all the girls, with a Hannah and Paige and Sierra on the beach, and they're like, look at Lindsay. Like, she's
they're
like,
totally gonna
I
fuck
wouldn't
by
be
the
surprised.
End of summer. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. And
they should fuck by the end of that night, and you should be fine with it.
Yeah. They should go to the car
yeah,
and like, use the hotspot to pull up some porn and then just start fucking in the backseat.
The psychic thing didn't happen this episode, right? It was episode 8 afterwards.
No,
or we see
it
in the preview. It did happen.
We see it. No, it did happen because it's the next day. They run up. Hannah runs to Paige and like goes and finds her, and she's like, you know that psychic that like sometimes we talk to? And I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Who is
the
like, psychic? I think it's probably some Bravo fan that's like, I think Lindsay and Luke are fucking, and they're like, oh my god. And she literally runs with it. She runs with her phone to Paige.
Yeah. And she's like, also psychics don't tell you what happened in the past.
I know, right?
Like, that's classically not what a psychic
also,
does.
Also, you just like watch
and this
the
does
show.
Feel like a fan.
Yeah, you could probably just guess that would happen. If like, because was there a thing with Lindsay and Luke in a pantry, or was that
they hugged or something in a pant? Like, had a long hug while Lindsay was like crying about.
But wasn't
something.
It like a fingering thing?
There, Carl fingered Lindsay.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes.
Last.
Again, the wires get crossed.
Before they entered
sometimes.
The summer
right,
house.
Right, right, right.
I know. It's like a lot of tall guys and a lot of fingers.
Yeah.
But like, I could see them. I guess Lindsay had a New Year's Eve party and didn't invite Hannah, but then tried to get Danielle to hook up with Luke. So that already
That's
created
it.
Like tension.
And then Hannah talked about it on a podcast and then... Or wait, that's Hannah didn't get invited because Hannah said
about
something
it.
About Lindsay on a podcast. That's why she wasn't invited to the New Year's Eve party. Otherwise, she would have been. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now Lindsay and Luke are both single. So who gives a shit?
Yeah, let him fuck.
Hannah's the only one that cares. And I would be really happy if they had fucked at some point. Like, if Lindsay and Luke have fucked at some point. Like, I don't want it to be, like, revealed that she cheated on Stravi, though I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't mind that. That'd be pretty cool.
I think it's, like, giving me shades of Vanderpump Rules season 2, where I'm hoping that it's proven to be true. Like,
yeah, we need some cheating.
It's like, Kristen, yeah,
we're missing
Kristen
hangovers and cheating.
Like,
yeah.
Jack's fucked. Yeah. Yeah. And then it turned out that they did, and it was truly like the best thing that ever happened to me.
I'm getting chills thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Amanda's job for her, where Kyle's like, "What are you doing, babe?" And she's like, "It's National Dog Day, so I'm trying to put a slideshow of dogs with lover boys up on Instagram." Mm-hmm. I like seeing like young people do their social media jobs and get like paid for it.
Yeah, I like to get a little peek behind the curtain of posting on Instagram if you're a brand. It sounds really annoying mm-hmm. and also stressful. Like, I mean, I don't have any followers, but like if I was a brand, I'd be so afraid to post something because you're under a microscope these days, you know? And so I don't know. Tagging the wrong dog. Like...
Yeah, tagging a problematic dog.
Yeah. Ugh.
You really don't want to wade into that territory. I would like consult for people's social media at times, like when I was starting out, like as a writer and stuff, like from because I used to do like white girl problems. So then people were like, "Oh, she's good at Twitter. Like she should do this for our company and our brand." And I was horrible at all those jobs because I was like, I don't want to like create like spawn con for your brand at the end of the day. So I'm like, I hate like really posting on social media, period. It's hard for me, but I like seeing like, I like knowing that like young people can just do that or people that are into that can do that and then make a lot of money mm-hmm. from it. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see more about Amanda's role in the Loverboy Corporation. We know she's a graphic designer. That's the name the show gives her. But I don't know. She's in charge of their look.
I feel like she's like the creative director. Of Loverboy.
Yeah, she is, I think. Yeah.
And so her job seems great for her because all she really has to do is like graphic design, which she's good at, and then come up with merch. And she's selling like... what, $250,000 worth of like Loverboy merch? Like, is making,
I mean, the website, everything is sold out.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You cannot get the collegiate sweatshirt
off the shelves. Yeah.
And everything I see her in, like, she's also smart to design things that specifically look good on her because I see her in like a little light denim wash like Loverboy hat and I'm like, ooh, should I get that? And I'm
no.
like, no,
don't
like a fucking idiot in that. But like she wears it incredibly well.
I do think the Loverboy collegiate, like the light gray sweatshirt with like the navy blue lettering, is a very smart merch item because it doesn't have anything to do with the drink. It's just like a cutesy like thing. I think it's appealing to people that like maybe don't even drink, you know? It's not referencing like a beverage.
Yeah,
smart Amanda.
And we see her also like wearing that ripped up like Virginia sweatshirt, which I'm just like, God, she looks like I would look homeless and weird. And
no, you
that
wouldn't.
Sweatshirt like that. I don't think. Well, she's like also kind of petite, so it's like works better. I feel like it's like I'm very tall. It wouldn't ever look as good on me as it looks on her. And I'm just like, now we're seeing her references, like her style references for her own merch. I'm just like, this woman's a genius. Like, I love everything she does. I care too much. Yeah. I really have such a soft spot for Amanda. It's coming through.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Like, I stan her and Kyle's relationship like a lot.
She is kind
Who do
of
you
the,
stand on their relationship.
I think they're good for each other, and I'm fully on board now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of like hysterical antics between the two of them in previous seasons where I'm like, holy shit. Like, you should break up, you know? Well, he cheated on her.
Yeah.
It's there's parallels between Kyle and Amanda and like Jax and Brittany in a way where they've overcome. I mean, Jax cheated on Brittany like a lot more times and was a lot more unraveled, I guess. But it is like the lighter side of overcoming cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also kind of Katie and Tom.
Yeah.
It feels more Katie and Tom to me.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Where it's like, you guys do, I really do believe that you both love each other and care about each other in some way. Because like, there are moments where I was like, I don't think Jax loves nor cares about.
No, I know. Like, I know. Yeah.
And Tom, I think I could be like, I think he always has some sort of care and love for Katie, even if it's like operating at like a lower percentile than normal.
Yeah, I think they're kind of more like Jax and Brittany though, because they have more like traditional sensibilities, whereas I think like Katie and Tom are kind of just like, I don't know, they're not like, they don't seem like that conservative at all, really. Whereas like Jax and Brittany, you know, we know Brittany's, you know, from Kentucky and, you know, lover of the church and stuff. And Jax kind of just like sports. And I guess, I don't even know what I'm saying. I think like the timing is off in both relationships, but they stuck with it. And now I think it's okay. Enough.
Yeah, for now they're closer and more connected than ever.
Yeah. You can edit a big part of that out. The
I also just love Kyle's like joking about Amanda's tits. Like, there's nothing like a breastfeeding joke to really like make me laugh.
Coming off Nipplegate from that episode too, it's, there's a lot of milker references. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a lot tit humor proliferates. They have taco night and Luke is very quiet, and rewatching this episode, like, I'm caught up with the season now, but revisiting this episode and knowing what's to come with like everyone ganging up on Luke, I do actually feel bad for him now. I think he did it to himself, but
yes,
I also am just like, everyone's being a little, I mean, like, he's, when someone's kind of dumb, they, I feel like they don't deserve everyone to be so mean to them, because they're never really going to understand what they did to like hurt people.
And I think it's dragged on long enough. I think we're the part of filming where they've been there for over a month and the Luke stuff started immediately, and he's isolated within an isolation chamber basically, so it's like gotta be really annoying for him. Like, he really has like no one in the house, and like, I think he gets in a fight with all the guys next week, and that's gonna be a whole thing. Maybe he'll just leave the show. I don't know.
I'm like, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if he did leave, because there always has to be kind of one person that's like Lord of the Flies out of the group.
Yeah.
Like, last season it was Jordan. They tried to do it to Jules, but somehow she like remained, which I don't think I could have done if I was her. Like, sat in a room where everyone was like, we all don't like you because of XYZ.
Oh yeah.
And then she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'll do better. And then stuck around. But like, there, if they had like a Jordan or a Jules around, I don't think Luke would be getting as much shit as he is getting.
Right. Yeah. It all falls on him.
But he is now the Jordan and the Jules.
Yes.
And then everyone breaks off to have their like girls' night and guys' night, which we see like in the next episode, like, unravels.
Yes. When a girls' night and a guys' night happens in the Hamptons, the gates of hell literally open.
The devil laughs,
yeah,
a deep belly laugh, and then consumes souls in the process. Oh, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Tell everyone where they can find you.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Dan_Allegretto, and I'm on Patreon. My podcast is called Dial Dan. I just had Carrie O'Donnell on as my last guest.
Hell yeah.
We majorly fagged out about Bravo stuff. A lot of personal... I talked about meeting PC from NYC Prep in a nightclub that I was working at.
Oh my God. History being made.
Really funny story about sitting in front of Stassi at a 50 Shades of Grey screening, and she'd be like, oh my God, it's so me. So make sure you tune in for that. But thanks again for having me. What a great way to spend the afternoon.
Oh, no, the pleasure was all mine. Until next time, love and light.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.